We often say to people, I'll pray for you. Or when there's a big disaster, people end by saying, our thoughts and prayers are with. As often as not, it means, I hope things go well for you. But in this time of prayer between Ascension and Pentecost, we're seeking to turn those good wishes, that expression of concern, into a reality. When we pray, we meet with God. And as often as not, we become the answer to our own prayers. That's one of the most exciting things. God, in some extraordinary way, acts with us, says, come and be my partner, come alongside, share with me, take part. And the world changes. In 2017, between Ascension and Pentecost, in our own calendar, we are seeking to pray for people to know who Jesus is. We pray for the Holy Spirit to empower every Christian, all of us, to give us a passion for sharing and witnessing the good news we have in Jesus Christ. That sense of what he's done for us, how amazing it is to know that we are loved by Jesus, that there is salvation, that when we turn to him in repentance, we find forgiveness. When we turn to him in despair, we find hope. Just the most extraordinary miracle. So what's going to happen? There'll be prayer in localities, in local churches, in non-churches, in all kinds of places. Secondly, there'll be beacon events, central events in well-known churches, in cathedrals, in big centres, where people can come together in their thousands as they did in 2016 and made a huge impact as they prayed passionately.
What made us decide to get involved was the sense that it was something that reached out throughout the whole church.
It was a wonderful opportunity to gather people together from all over the diocese and indeed beyond.
Prayer walks, individual prayer, prayer groups. We held an exhibition.
24/7 prayer rooms, some held special events, there was a prayer pilgrimage.
Simply to open the doors of our church throughout the day from 8 to 8.
The result was absolutely incredible.
Through the week of prayer of thy kingdom come, God grew in us.
Community kids who don't normally ever even talk about God are getting involved.
Our building could be a wonderful missional resource.
We actually told our vicar, we want more.
Wonderfully encouraging to seeing the worldwide church mobilised in prayer.
Anybody thinking of getting involved in 2017, I would say seize the opportunity.
You'll be unprepared, you wish there were other things you could have done, and that's exactly the place when God uses us.
It may be a bit uncomfortable, it may sort of stretch what you're used to, but it's really good to welcome not only God's people, but to God's Spirit.
People can share their talents.
Just come.
Let's get together in calling out to God, in prayer, in whatever way we like, wherever we are, that our often lukewarm or cold hearts are set on fire with love for Jesus, that he is the answer to the fears, the despairs of all around. Get together your way. Witness your way. Pray your way. With God, the impossible is possible.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to St John's. I'm Gavin, the vicar, and we just wanted to start with that call to prayer from the Archbishop of Canterbury, that from Ascension Day, which is Thursday week, not this Thursday but next Thursday, for 10 days until we celebrate Pentecost on the 4th of June, to pray for people to come to know Jesus Christ. It's a big clarion call from the Archbishop. And so what are we doing in this church? Well, this church space is going to be open between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Every day for those 10 days, with a prayer corner over in the back right, left-hand corner. Also, there's going to be a dedicated prayer room up in the attic as well, with an opportunity to pray around the clock, 24/7. And you can sign up at the back of the church in the Grove Room. There's a list of those slots. We're particularly wanting to fill three slots a day, 8 a.m., midday, and 7 p.m. So do have a look when you can be praying for an hour. And we're going to be giving you things to pray for as well. We're leafleting the community, and we're inviting people to email in to us prayer requests so that we can pray for things that matter to people and pray that Jesus will meet them in those concerns. So there'll be a chance to pray for those specific requests coming in. We're also going to be inviting you to think about five people that you can pray for those 10 days every day that they will come to know Jesus. And there'll be more information about that next week. And if you're in a small group or a home group, then we're also encouraging you to use your meeting during that 10-day period to be praying for people you know and for praying for people to come to know Jesus. So that's what's coming up Thursday week. Do start preparing for it. Have a look in your diary for when you can sign up. But we're going to join together now in worship this morning, and we're going to begin with our opening hymn. If you've got a hymn book, it's 608, otherwise the words will be on the screen. Christ is our cornerstone. We'll sit for our first reading from the book of Acts about the stoning of Stephen, and this is the passage that we'll be exploring a bit further in a moment.
The reading can be found on page 891 of the Pew Bibles. It's Acts 7, starting at verse 54. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll stand for our gospel reading.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word and for the example of the martyrs who have gone before us. Help us to learn from their story this morning and to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I hope that message from the Archbishop of Canterbury stirred you this morning. He does seem to have a particular gift for communicating clearly, but in a gentle sort of way, so you don't always realise the punch of what he's saying. I don't know if you noticed that he said that these 10 days of praying were all about praying for the Holy Spirit to give us a passion for sharing and witnessing the good news about Jesus. He's been saying that these 10 days, they're not just about prayer generally, they're about a very specific sort of prayer, praying that people will come to know Jesus Christ. Because after all, we do believe that he is the centre of all creation. We think he's the centre of all history. We think that he is the way in which a human life can make sense and have purpose. But there's still something rather scary, isn't there, about being told that we should be passionate about sharing and witnessing Jesus Christ. It gets even more scary if we start using words that the Archbishop deliberately avoided, evangelism or mission. It's the sort of words that make Christians sort of nod approvingly and piously, but actually secretly feel a bit scared and nervous. And so it should, because the reading from Acts shows us that for Stephen, at least, witnessing to Jesus Christ meant dying for him. So how do we get to the point where witnessing to Jesus Christ is a natural part of who we are and how we live and how we act and what we say? Well, I think Stephen's life gives us a few really clear pointers. If witnessing is difficult for you, well, look at where Stephen started before he reached that point of giving his life as a martyr. I think the first thing to notice is that he lived a life that was really close to Jesus. Back in chapter 6, Stephen makes his first appearance, and he's actually on a list of men of good standing and wisdom who are being selected to oversee the distribution of food. He's on the coffee rota, basically. His job is to free up the apostles to proclaim the word. And yet one chapter later, he delivers this extraordinary speech to the council of elders and teachers and denounces them for crucifying the Messiah. He's not somebody who is afraid to speak out for his faith. How does that happen? I mean, we know he's a good egg. We know that he's a reliable sort, the sort of person you'd want on your coffee rota. He's good standing and full of wisdom. But verse 5 of chapter 6 also says that he's full of faith and the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure we always look for people necessarily who are full of faith and the Holy Spirit to go on our coffee rota, but the early church seems to have done. And what did that do? Well, that was continually transforming Stephen. That faith that he had and the Holy Spirit at work in him changed him, so that when he's arrested, those who look at him say that his face is like the face of an angel. That's at the end of chapter 6, chapter verse 15. He's got the face that looks like the face of an angel. And perhaps we're meant to think of Moses coming out of the tent of meeting in the wilderness, so on fire, so glowing with the presence of God that he has to wear a veil to protect the rest of the Israelites. This is somebody who keeps close to Jesus. This is somebody who really believes that promise in John chapter 14 that we just heard, that Jesus is preparing a place for him in his Father's house, that it's a place with many dwelling places, and he's confident that his place is there. How is he confident? Because Jesus is his friend. Because Jesus knows the one who has gone, because he knows the one who has gone before him. It's a life completely sold out for Jesus. So Stephen is very focused on this relationship with Jesus. Well, what does that do to him? Well, it changes him. It changes him powerfully, and he begins to look and to act a bit like Jesus. I mean, this is what the book of Acts is really all about. It's about what happens to the followers of Jesus when they're filled with the Holy Spirit and when they go into the world. What happens to them? Well, they begin to look and act a bit like Jesus. I don't know if you ever had that experience of realizing that you've picked up somebody else's phrase. Have you ever had that? Last October, we went on a half-term holiday with some family friends of ours, their little kids. And when I got back, I discovered I was doing something really irritating, which was if I ever asked a question, I would also then follow it up with, "Do you know what I mean?" You know somebody who does that? "Do you know what I mean?" And I was thinking, where on earth has that come from? And I realized I'd picked it up from this friend that I'd been on holiday with. We'd spent a whole week together. He did it at the end of every question, so I just started doing it as well. That's what happens when you're in a significant relationship, one in which you've invested time and one which goes deep. You start to become a bit like that person. So when Stephen is dying because they're throwing great big rocks at him, when all that is on his mind is what is his eternal destiny, what comes out of him? Well, it sounds an awful lot like Jesus, doesn't it? The last two phrases that he uses, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," he says. Doesn't that sound familiar? Luke chapter 23, Jesus on the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And the other thing Stephen says is, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Again, Luke tells us that Jesus on the cross says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." Stephen not only glows with the presence of God, he sounds like Jesus at the moment of his death. You see, Stephen is so deeply steeped in the teaching and the example of Jesus that love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, forgive, not seven times, but 70 times seven times. They've just become a part of who he is. Stephen is actually breaking with a long Jewish tradition of when they were persecuted in the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. When they were being killed, there was a script that you had to deliver, which is, "Do not think this ends today. God is alive and he will avenge me." That's pretty much what they would say in, you know, various different ways. And so you're expecting Stephen to say that. "Do not think this ends today. God is alive and he will avenge me." But he doesn't. He doesn't. He follows a different script. He follows Jesus' script. And the effect is a man whose words and actions witness every day to Jesus Christ. He delivers this bold speech to the council, telling them boldly and clearly that Jesus is the Messiah that they have missed. And then he dies, the first Christian martyr. And of course, you probably know that martyr comes from the Greek martyrio, which means to witness. The martyrs, when they die, witness to the faith that has brought them to this point. So if that challenge from the Archbishop to witness to your faith, to witness to what Jesus Christ has done in you, sounds a bit too difficult, sounds like a hurdle that's just too high at the moment, well, maybe Stephen shows us a better place to start. Don't start there. Don't start with, "How am I going to persuade my next door neighbour?" Don't start with, "What argument do I need for that person at work?" Start instead with this. How is my relationship with Jesus? Am I investing in it? Am I spending time in prayer and in studying his word? So that actually, quite naturally, as I spend time with him, I become like him. And then the way in which I act and the way in which I speak sounds like him. So that actually, when somebody is in a position to hear, you can say, "Do you know what makes this difference in my life? Let me tell you my story. Come and see what Jesus has done in my life." That's the challenge for this morning, to become more like Jesus. So let's pray for his Holy Spirit to be poured into us and to transform us. Jesus, thank you for that example of Stephen and for all the things that we can learn from him. Thank you for the way in which his death went on to inspire so many, not least Saul, who turned into Paul and radically transformed that world in the first century. And Father, we want to see that sort of radical transformation of our society again. We want to see people coming to know you. So we pray that you will pour your Holy Spirit into us. Give us a desire to know you better. Give us the discipline to spend time praying and reading your word. And by the power and the gift of your Holy Spirit, make us more like Jesus in everything we say and everything we do. Amen.